Tonight, let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 63, again. It's pretty amazing, again, going back into the Psalms as we've been teaching the Psalms. And you know, I've prayed for so many people over the years, not only in hospitals, but in the ministry. And the Psalms have been kind of a thing for my life, because David was a king. David was a shepherd, and David had a real problem and situation in his life, which I don't have, and that is his son Absalom turned against him. I don't know how many of you have sons and daughters that have turned against you. It must be painful, very painful. When someone in your family turns against you to the point where they want you dead. That was David. And it's really important because David, in his own time, think about this, in his own time, here is Absalom and he is in Jerusalem and his father David. In 2 weeks when you go with me to Israel, you're going to blow your mind, because you're going to see when we're standing on top of the Mount of Olives, and you're looking across and you see the city of Jerusalem. And you're going to get the picture, David leaving the Temple Mount, where the actual temple was, crossing the Kidron Valley, going across to the Mount of Olives, and David standing there watching his city and watching his kingdom. And he's on his way running over to the desert of Judea because his son wants to kill him with all of his men. That's when the psalm was written. It's an incredible thing when your family turns against you. Against you. And yet Jesus said that those of your household will turn against you in the last days. It's not just going to be friends and enemies. People within your own home will turn against you. And I think it's of importance, as David is expressing here, his confidence in ability in the Lord's help, that he didn't have his trust in himself or in that temple, but his actual confidence was in the Lord. He said, Lord, you appointed me, you set me up, you anointed me, and Lord, this is not my problem. This is your problem, and I turn it over to you. I need your help. Lord, what are you going to do? Check this out. He starts out here in Psalm 63. As he's now running away to the wilderness of Judea, he says in verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you, and my soul thirsts for you, and my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That's amazing how he writes. Because first of all, the psalmist here is yearning for fellowship with the Lord. Now, do you get up in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, and are you really starving for have fellowship with God? That's real important. It seems that people yearn to have fellowship with God when everything begins to collapse and everything is going wrong. But when everything is good, are you still yearning for God? Not just in the bad times. And David here just makes a really great expression of his trust in the Lord. That he's saying, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. David was getting up early in the morning. And I've read so many autobiographies of great preachers of the past. Men that would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And they would pray from 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And read and study God's word before they would ever go anywhere to preach. Or to do anything. Waiting upon God. Think of how many of us here go to work every day without the word of God. And without prayer. Which means we have no guidance and we have no direction for the day. real important to have that. Why? Because you're going to have to make decisions that day. They will cost you. Good and bad decisions. And that's why it's like, you know, going home at night, and if you have batteries and you don't plug in your phone, the next morning you get up, you put your phone in your pocket, you go to work, and all of a sudden you make a call and it lasts for a second and then your battery is dead. That's a picture of a lot of people in the church. They have no power because they're not plugging in. Not plugging into the truth. David was plugged in. He said, "You are my God, and early I'm going to seek you." Why? Because my soul is thirsting for you. Does your soul thirst for him? You know when your soul thirsts for you, what you do? You're in the Word. You're in prayer. You're reading good books. You're in church. Not just once a week. You want to be in the house of God. You want to know what's up. You want to hear His voice. You want Him to speak to you through His Word, through other people. You want to be connected. You want to be in tune with Jesus Christ and what's up. David was that way. And the only way David was that way is because of all the things that were going on in David's life. His son coming after him, his men betraying him, and all these things going on in his life. Because at one time David was backslidden. But when David got on fire for God, all hell broke loose. When you serve God and you love God, hey, don't expect to be kicked back. It won't happen that way. Satan will come and attack you as a young person. He'll attack your parents. He'll attack your brothers and sisters. He'll attack your cousins, your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents. He'll attack anybody he can just to get to you. And that's like my wife and I. We've gone through many things all of our lives, you know. Now she has cancer. You know what? That's just a little thing for me and for her. Because we're leaders. And because we love the Lord, and our lives are in the hands of God, not in my hands, not in her hands. And our kids know that too. You know, so it's real important. And I think it's of importance that, you know, we come to that place in our lives that when I got sick, you know, 2 years ago, and now she got sick, we're going to Vegas. When I got sick, we're going to Vegas. Now she's sick. That is incredible because the devil hates us. And I'm so happy he hates me. I'm so happy because I hate him anyways. You know? Because we're not going to give up. We're going to fight even bigger. And it's really neat because what God does is when you have situations in your life, when you come to Christ and you learn about Christ and you go, you know, you're steady on course, what happens? You cannot help the thirst for God. You need Him in your life every day. If you don't, you're going to be backslidden. You're going to have no sense of direction. And David here is just pouring his heart out. He's saying, "My soul is thirsty for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Think about that for a moment. Behind me in Israel, this is the Mount of Olives. Behind me is the Judean desert. The Dead Sea's over here. Moab's on the other side. Jordan. And David being out in the wilderness by the Dead Sea over by En Gedi, looking at the desert so dry where there is no water. But you know what that's a picture of too? That's a picture of a Christian that is not in God's Word. It's like not stopping at the gas station and thinking you can make it, you know, without gassing up. Your car says if there's an E and there's an F, empty or full. You can't take chances spiritually. You got to be on the F all the time, full, not empty. The only time you have the E is when you come full of pride, and you have to empty yourself of self so that Jesus Christ can fill you completely with Himself. real important to do that. God is in control. He is on the throne. He speaks here of the wilderness, a place not only where David went, but who went there too? Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights to do what? To be tested by the devil. What is David doing? He's being tested. He's being tested. I'm being tested. My wife is being tested right now. And many of you are being tested. But we know that God is there. Who can I go to if I can't come to God? He's the only one that can help me. You see? My confidence, my trust, my faith has to be in Him for everything and anything that I do. And it's really important for you as a church member of the body of Christ that because when Jesus writes the Sermon on the Mount in the first 13 verses, He writes about the Beatitudes, and one of the Beatitudes is that blessed is he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he will be filled. Interesting. Before there can be a filling, there has to be an emptying of yourself in order for God to work. To work where? In me, Paul said, and through my life. It's not about me, it's about Him. And the devil's always there to bring persecution and to bring despair and to bring unbelief in the life of so many people. And David is an amazing man. A lot of people put him down. I don't put him down. I'm going to be glad to meet David in heaven. Because check this out, verse 2, what he says. This is amazing. Notice here the psalmist is actually changing metaphors here about the desert. He says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. As he's standing on top of the Mount of Olives, before he heads back to the wilderness, he looks and here is the temple of the Lord, man. The house of the Lord. He's been there. And now he has to leave it. He has to run from his son. But you see, God doesn't live in buildings like this. In the New Testament, God says He lives in bodies like ours. We are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. And if any man pollutes the temple of God, what does he do? He says, that man shall be destroyed. If anybody defiles the temple of God, God Himself shall destroy that person. Because the temple of God is what? Holy. The word temple in the New Testament is the word in Greek for the holiest of holies in the Old Testament, where the priest could only go in once a year with a rope tied to his right ankle, and if there was any sin in his life, the pomegranate bells that were ringing, if they stopped ringing, God would kill him and they would have to drag him out. Nobody could go in. We are the temple of the living God now. And David says here, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And then he says in verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Isn't that neat? Shall praise you. What we did tonight, we worshiped the Lord. You know, precious as life is, yet, without the grace of God, we have nothing. The grace of God is so important. Loving kindness of God, amazing. Amazing. God's loving kindness is better than burnt offerings, than anything else. Why? Because He secures my life. He secures me in Himself. And I can be at peace with God because He is in control of my life. Because I'm not. I'm not. And that's a problem today with so many people. They think they're in control when they're out of control. It's only through Jesus Christ that we are in control. When I submit my life to Him, Like Paul says in the book of Romans 5, 6, and 7, and 8, reckoning the old man to be dead. He says, what? You need to reckon the old man to be dead. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ lives in me, and he's living through my life. You let Christ live through you. You become obedient to the word of God. And so David here is pouring his heart fully, completely. And then he said this, my lips shall praise you, O Lord. It's not just in church. It's so cool sometimes driving around. You know, whether you're walking or running or driving or whatever. Man, it's so neat just to say, God, Lord, thank you so much. I praise you. I worship you. You're awesome, Lord. People might think you're on the telephone or talking to yourself. Don't worry about that. Because it's neat. You're talking to the Lord. God is a spirit. And those that worship him in spirit and in truth. And here is David with a broken heart. His son's against him. He's no longer the king. His son is taking over the kingdom. He's running for his life. And God is trying him and teaching him. In verse 4, look what he says. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands into your name. He's thinking, I may be dead tomorrow, but I'm alive today. I will praise you. I will worship you. Isn't that neat? David living for God. What is he saying? Lord, I live for you. I work for you. Everything that I do is you, Lord. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And what is the sign of lifting up of the hands? It's not to bring attention to yourself. Because think of how many times, this is what Chuck Smith taught us this many, many years ago, you know. Today when you visit churches sometimes, and speaking to churches during worship, people will get up to worship, you know. And that's cool, because we don't know their hearts. But one of the things that happens is that a lot of times you're bringing attention to yourself, and that's why we all stand together, we all sit together. Why? Because we don't want anybody bringing attention to themselves. Real important, because God is a God of order. A God of order. And yet here David is declaring how he lifts up his hands unto the Lord and he sits there, and what does he do? He worships the Lord. He worships the Lord. And that's a sign of what? Surrendering my life to him, Lord. Clean hands, clean lips, and a clean heart, and a clean mind before the Lord. And then check this out, number 2, verse 5. The witness of God. My soul, David says, shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Isn't that amazing? Worshiping the Lord with our lips. What is coming out of your mouth all day long? Profanity? Cursings? Evil words, demeaning people, yelling and screaming at your kids all day long, calling them names, husbands calling your wives dirty names, verbally abusing them, physically abusing them. Shame on you. You're not a man of God. It's really important to know what God's word says. And David here is expressing what he's feeling, what he's going through in his own personal life. Verse 6, check this out. Number 3, he waits for the Lord. He says, when I remember you, O God, in my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. You know when you can't sleep at night? Oh man, I've had so many nights like that. Not because what I've eaten, okay? But sometimes I just can't sleep. I get up early to go surf. I get up at 5 in the morning. I'm in the water by 6:30, and I get home by 9 o'clock in the morning, and then I can study all day long. But you know why I do that? I can't sleep. Plus, it gives me time with God. Time with God. Plus, God uses my life to get these old surfers out there that have been out there for 40 years to share the gospel with them. I love it. Now I'm making hot sauce for them once a month. They love it, so I give it to them. It's so cool. But think about David. He's talking here and he's saying, I remember you on my bed. and I meditate on you in the night watches. Imagine when God comes by night. And my wife does this all the time. It's amazing. I think she's sleeping. You know what? But she's an intercessor. She intercedes all the time. Prays for me. Prays for my kids. Prays for my grandbabies. Prays for you. Prays for the church. And you know what? It's amazing that at nighttime, when everything comes to an end, everything is done, that how many times we sit there and we turn off the lights, and how many times do we say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you did today, and please don't forget, Lord, to keep me breathing during the night." Because there are people in the hospitals that are machines, so they can breathe. We don't even think about that. Some people just go to sleep. Never thank God for anything. We should thank Him for our last breath. That might be it. You have no guarantees of waking up the next morning unless God watches over you. So here David is expanding. Here the psalmist is reflecting on the Lord during the watches of the night. How many times David stood up looking to the stars as his son is ruling in Jerusalem and he's praying to God. And then he says this, verse 7. Because you, O God, have been my help. Isn't that neat? You, God, are the only one that has truly helped me. I mean, who else can save you? The Bible says, don't ever put your trust in man. It will fail you. You trust the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. And then he says this. Check this out. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. What does that speak? Fellowship and protection. God is protecting me. He's watching over my life. No matter what happens. Like right now, God watching my wife and I, He is in our lives more real than yesterday. More real than yesterday. When we found out she had cancer last week, I had to go on the road for 4 days, leave her at home. But you know what? We're in the ministry. We are ministering for the Lord. It's not just about our marriage, it's what God has called us to do because we love the Lord more than we love each other. That's what happens to people. It's important. And I'm telling you this because some of you husbands and wives need to know that. Your children are watching you. It's not to be cold, but who's first in your life? Who do you really worship? And it's really important, as David here points out, concerning our lives and who we are and what we're doing. That as we're standing before the Lord, he says, check this out, not only in fellowship and protection, but verse 8, notice that I walk with God, verses 3 to 8 now, he says this, my soul follows close behind you, your right hand upholds me. As I'm walking, who's leading? The Lord, not me. Who's in charge? The Lord. He says, as my soul follows close behind you, your right hand upholds me. Check this out. The Lord is leading and you're kind of holding on to Him as He's leading you. That's what we're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Who leads the surgeon's hands? The Lord. Who's the one that protects you from that car hitting you? The Lord. Yesterday I was getting a haircut and down here in by Pomona, and there was this little old lady driving this car. She went across the intersection and this car came and hit her so hard, so hard. I thought she was dead. I ran across the street and here's this little old lady, probably about in her 80s. And all she does is little bleeding her little thumb here. And she goes, "I'm all right, son, I'm all right. God bless you," you know. And nothing happened to her. The Lord. You know, and this other car, big old Ford pickup truck with big tires, hit her little car and totally damaged it and nothing happened to her. Who was there? The Lord is my protector. God is leading. God is watching over me. We need to put our full trust and confidence in Him. Why? Because He leads us as we follow behind Him. Then check this out. He says, My soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. And then he says, but those who seek my life, remember Absalom and all his troops, the people that hated David, shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They'll go to hell. Wow. They'll go to hell. Can you imagine how David felt when Absalom was killed by Joab, his uncle, when he was hanging on that tree? And actually, when Absalom died, where did he go? To hell. Think of all the parents that have children in hell. That's the most fearful thing for a parent to know, when your kids are on drugs, alcohol, and they're in sexual events, and they're not walking with God, and then they die without the Lord. That is painful for the rest of your life. David heard when Absalom died. He couldn't believe it, because he had told Joab, bring my child back alive. Don't touch him. But when Joab saw him hanging, and he knew that he was against David, he killed him. Killed him. Never repented. He was done. So here David writes, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Notice that. He's talking here to God, and he's looking for victory in God. Verse 10. They, who's that? My enemy. Shall be what? They shall fall by the sword, and they shall be a portion for the jackals. Notice that. God's going to take care of them. And then he says in verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Now here again, David the king, what's he going to do? He's going to rejoice. When he heard that Absalom, his son, was killed, he wept and he wept and he wept, and he had to stop weeping. His son hated him. He wanted to kill his dad. And even David was rebuked by his men. He says, what are you going to stop crying? Absalom hated you. But I was his son. It's flesh and blood. And yet David, in his own heart, but here he says, notice what he says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Listen, people that are talking about you and it's not true, they're in big trouble. Big trouble. That's why when you have misinformation, you got to get the right information from what? From the horse's mouth. Don't believe people. Don't believe people. Get it from the person themselves. And if there's something wrong, don't spread it. Remember I told you the illustration where the guy took the pillowcase and he ripped it apart and put it on the porch. All the actual feathers were everywhere. He went inside, went to bed. He came out the next morning, and there were just a few feathers left. Everything had blown away at night. And he said, this is the way the mouth is, like feathers. You speak, and they fly everywhere, and you can't get them back. You already done the damage. May God help us to edify, build up, not tear down, not gossip, not talk about people, but pray for people. Pray for people and forgive people for their meanness. Like David. I mean, here David, his son, wants to kill him. He's running away from his own palace in the wilderness where the snakes and the lions and all the animals are out there. And David is looking up to the stars and he's fellowshipping with God. And God says, David, I'm in control. I'll take care of situations. It's going to hurt you. But guess what, David? I am in control of your life. And sometimes I've been with parents where they lost their daughter or their son. Drugs, alcohol, different things. Or maybe murdered. And you know what? Even though we don't know where that person is, yet those people that are sitting there and are breathing in our life have been brought by that one person so they can get the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth to make a decision. Why? Because once you die, it's over in this life, but there's another life to live. Heaven or hell? You have to make the choice. And this is why David prayed. Because he knew about Sheol, hell, and he knew about heaven. And it must have hurt David so badly to know that once his son took his last breath before they killed him, that was it for him, that he would never see his son again. And I think of how many parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, and family members, they will never see each other again because death will separate them between heaven and hell. And they'll be over. And they'll spend eternity with the wicked forever and ever and ever. And we will spend the rest of our lives with Jesus Christ in His presence and His light forever and ever in His love and grace and mercies. That's why we have to make great decisions in our lives before it's too late. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. Lord God, asking you, begging you, for these beautiful, wonderful people here tonight, Jesus. And Lord God, we pray for anybody out there that is sick with cancer, or Father, they're having marriage problems, or they're on drugs, or alcohol, or sexual adventures, or pride, or whatever it is, Lord God, that you would touch and that you would anoint and that you would heal, Lord God. With every eye closed, every head bowed, and those watching through the internet, for those that are here in the sanctuary, if you came with someone, you were invited, or you came on your own, you have to make a decision for yourself. You can leave here the same way you came today, on your way to hell, in your sins, or you can change tonight your heart. God will change it. Your mind, your attitude. As you, number one, acknowledge that you have sinned against God and that sin separates me from God. Number two, I repent of my sins and I confess them to Him. Number three, the blood of Jesus Christ will come to me and clean me and wash me and make me white as snow and bury my sins in the deepest part of the ocean and cast them as far as to the east and the west. And then I will, by faith, receive Him into my life and He'll give me eternal life. And He gives me the guarantee that if I would die tonight, I would go to heaven, the Bible says. If there's anybody here, young, old, whoever you are, male or female, and you want to receive Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, you came with someone, they don't want to come, you have to come individually. It's not on the family plan. Individually. I want you to get up out of your seats, come up here to the front, stand here with me, and I'm going to pray with you as we worship. You get up and you come as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Father, we are so thankful for your love, for your grace, your mercies for these beautiful people, Lord. Father, we pray for each one of them individually that you would touch their hearts and their minds, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that they would love you and that they would serve you all the days of their lives. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. And if there are any people in the internet that want to receive Christ, you can pray this prayer right now as we're going to do in a moment here. Repeat after me this prayer, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, you guys, over here. Follow right over there, that guy over there, you guys. Awesome. Thank you so much. Awesome.